Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. Just want to remind you that we're here this morning in combined Sunday school, which is not really Sunday school, but we're particularly setting this, well, now 40 minutes aside for the worship of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we gather to come and remember Him who gave Himself for us. I'd like to ask if you would help us together here by singing, starting with hymn number 103, kind of a Christmas season song, but I'd like to have you think about the movement of our Lord from the glories of heaven to the humility of earth, to think of His substitution for us, His humility, His, in the next verse, verse 3, His penury, His persecution in verse 4, and our future with Him in verse 5. So think of those truths as we sing first number 103, Thou didst leave Thy throne. Let's all stand as we begin.
Thou didst leave Thy throne and Thy kingly crown when Thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for Thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming Thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst Thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. The foxes found rest, and the birds their nest, in the shade of the forest tree. But Thy couch was the sod, O Thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living Word that should set Thy But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorns, they bore Thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee. When the heaven shall ring and the angels sing, to victory. Let Thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for Thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee.
Let's have a word of prayer as we open the service. We'll have one more hymn, so if you could remain standing for that as well. Let's just look to God and commit our ways to Him. Father in heaven, it is our desire this morning to come and worship Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of God, the one in whose name we come, not only to join as Christians in this fellowship, but also to have access even to the throne of grace, where we appeal to You now, that our service of worship will not be in vain or useless or a bunch of empty words or foolish chatter, but that what we do and say and participate in here this morning will be the true expression of our corporate heart toward You. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth by the power of that Spirit that dwells in us who are born again by faith in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back to hymn number 14. Hymn number 14. I wonder how many of you are familiar with this hymn. Hymn 14. Arise, my soul, arise. A few of us. A little bit. Now, I've done this before, but I'm not the greatest song leader, so you're going to have to help me out, okay? We sing it right out. The words to this song, they should be able to move you to some thankfulness and emotion here. So let's sing it out like that and be thankful to God for what He has provided. Think of the sacrifice here and the way that Christ stands in our stead. Look at it. It says that second line of the first verse, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on His hands. My name is written on His hands. Let me just share with you a couple of other words before we sing to set the tone here this morning. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His precious blood to plead. You see that in the second verse. Look at this in the last verse. To God I'm reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. Christ has died for your souls, my friends. That's why we can do this. Let us sing together with a little introduction and then we'll start hymn 14. All together. This is not. Where's the one we're accustomed to? Oh. Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Oh. How many of us know it by what David was? Yeah, see, that's the way. I didn't realize that was the case here. What can we do? We can sing it a cappella. David, come on up here and help us. You just volunteered, brother. We've got to sing this hymn, and that because this is a great word. I'm going to stand up here next to Dave and give him moral support at least, okay?
All right, ready? So how many know the regular tune that the Arise? Okay, so help me.
Sorry,
out,
Michelle.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on His hands. My name is written on His hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, His precious blood to plead. His blood atone for all our race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary.
strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransom sinner die. Nor let that ransom sinner die. The Father hears him pray. His dear anointed one, he cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood. It tells me I am born of God, and tells me I am born of God. To God I'm reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. His child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry, and Father, Abba, Father, cry.
Thank you. You may be seated. David, thank you very much for bailing me out. Apologies, Michelle. I thought we were on the same one, but these folks are very clever putting the same words to different music. Wouldn't you agree, though? Good words. Very powerful hymn expressing the truth of the gospel, God's work on our behalf. I asked several of the brothers yesterday at men's prayer, and I ask you men as well who are here if you would like to share a reading from Scripture relative to the table of the Lord or a prayer, or I'll throw in this as well as we have done in the past, a hymn that you would like us to sing. Gentlemen, you bring that to our attention, and we will do that together. So if you want to read, come up here so everybody can hear you or pray or suggest a hymn. You don't have to lead the hymn unless nobody else knows it, then you're stuck. Okay. So in the meanwhile, while the Lord pricks your heart to get up here and do that, brothers, we'll have some quiet time that we can just pray and meditate and prepare ourselves for the sharing of the elements of the table. I'll be sharing a little passage from Romans chapter 13 before we do that as well this morning.
Good morning. I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says, Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond trees blossom, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. What was written was upright, words of truth. The word of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, growing up, we've all heard of the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. And Solomon gives some insight into the three R's here in verses 1 through 6. The word remember. Remember your Creator. And that Hebrew word is plural. It's in reference to the Trinity. So we worship one God who manifests himself in three persons. So to anyone that may be listening later by the internet, Solomon was a creationist, not an evolutionist. The second R would be a read. Now, let me back up for a second. First, we not only remember, but that word remember means to act decisively on behalf of God. So that second R, read, how can we act decisively on what God has said? And, well, he wrote something. He wrote this book right here. And so if we read the Bible, then we would know who we are to remember and why. That third R would be rely. First, we remember our Creator. Second, we read in order to decisively act on what God has said. And in situations that we see ourselves in, we have to remove ourselves from that equation and rely on the Lord. Now, these are three R's that are simple, but sometimes hard to practice. I can say that for myself, but we are here this morning, and I can add three more R's to that, in that we are reconciled to Christ. We have redemption through his blood, and those who have died in Christ, we will one day be resurrected with him.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would speak to our heart, your supernatural word would just work in our heart today. And as we memorialize Christ's death as Christ commanded us and did himself 2,000 years ago with the apostles, Lord, help us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us. Help us to remember how he shed his glory and humbled himself to become a servant. Help us to remember how the shame, the beating, how he was spat upon and mocked, how his beard was ripped from his face, and how a crown of thorns was pressed into his head, Lord. Help us to remember how he was nailed to a cross, and how he gave up the ghost and died for our sins, how he gave his life that we might have life, Lord. Help us to remember that great love and that great salvation. I pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So I want to read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and life was His, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him."
I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, if you would, this morning, just for a couple of moments. Romans 13, I'll just read verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, in terms of this word owe, it means to be obligated or to owe, as you would think it means. In terms of a financial setting, we would be talking about debt. And of course, you know, the Bible gives us great caution about incurring debt and the problems that that brings. It commands or says that those that do not repay their debt are evil people. And so that makes a debt a moral issue, not just a purely dispassionate financial issue, if you will. It must be handled appropriately. And so hopefully you are paying off your debts and have done that or are working on doing so, looking forward to a time when you may be free from some of those things. But there's one debt that you can never repay, never run out of payments on, and it's not exactly the one you may be thinking of. The one you may be thinking of is that Christ loved us, and we then have an obligation to love Him as well. This text brings it right down to a human level, if you will, purely horizontal relationships, and it says that we should owe no one anything except to love one another. So that is, we have a continuing obligation to have love one for another. We're always in love debt, if you will, that way. And we're that way in all of the places where we go. Think of it. Your home, your church, your place of work, with your actual next-door neighbors. Love. You owe love to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your fellow believers in the church, to your neighbors, to the people in your workplace. One good thing to ask, and we've done this with our children at times, when there's a lot of, there's some kind of scuffle or some kind of controversy, and somebody's done something to somebody else, and that person did something to the other person and everything. I just boil it all down and I say, was what you were doing loving toward your brother? Oh, that catches them up short. You don't have to go much beyond that at times, right? Just, was what you were doing loving and kind to your brother, to your mom, to your dad, to whatever? And that kind of cuts right down to the chase, doesn't it? So is what you are doing loving to your children, parents, spouses, fill in the blank. This is the command. The obligation is that we love one another. Why? Because he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So if you go back to what Duane read us earlier, it says that the sum of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. If you feel in your heart that that is, on your own power, a hopeless task, you are correct. You cannot keep the commandments, even only the 5 of 10 that are listed here. You cannot, on your own, do that. Christ came to fulfill the law and to help us also in our walk to fulfill it, if we would, in this case, carry out this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Look at those commandments. Those are 5 of the 6 that we call the second table of the law. The first table of the law has to do with our relationship to God. And the second, that's the first 4 commandments, right? And the second set, this next 6, have to do with our relationship to people. What's the one that's left out of this list, by the way? Honor your father and mother. I don't think that that's left out just because it's not included in the idea of loving others, but it's just a list representative of the commandments of the law of Moses. You shall not do these things. That is, those things are not loving to do. It says all are summed up in this saying. That means that if I take all those five commandments and I want to make an equal sign and say the equivalent, I can say the equivalent by saying love your neighbor as yourself. That is the exact summation and sum total of what the Bible is saying when it says that. So remember, we're going to love God with all of our heart, souls, mind, and strength. That's the first table. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the second and what is being said here in this obligation to love one another. It says love does no harm to a neighbor. Another way to say it, do no harm, right? Our medical community, to not harm others first, do no harm. And that's the idea here. If you are loving someone, you're not doing them harm. Whether it's stealing from them something that belongs to them, or their purity in adultery, or their lives in murder, or their things in covetousness, and so on. We are loving if we do no harm to our neighbor. Therefore, the love there is the fulfillment of the law. So as a believer, there's a sense in which you do not have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about keeping all of those details if you simply say, is what I am doing or about to do loving my neighbor as myself? Now, this is very important. You know, there's this movement out there today, kind of just love, 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 love. Everything's love. No truth. Unity is based around love. We don't want to get into an issue about a different doctrine or a division or something. Sometimes those things are necessary. But despite that overemphasis, wrong overemphasis on love, that doesn't excuse us from loving one another, does it? How many church splits do you know have happened because the church is all full of people loving one another? Doesn't seem to happen, does it? How many families, how many divorces are there and fractures in families and children running away and rebelling and all of that if each and every one of the family is loving one another? Listen to these verses, 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Let me also read to you one more passage in John's Gospel. It's in chapter 15, verse 9. Chapter 15 of John's Gospel, verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So you have an ongoing obligation, a debt which never runs out. You owe it to your fellow believers, your family members, and all humans, for that matter, to love them in accordance with their need and with the way the Scriptures teach us to love. That is the summation of the law. Let me just have another prayer, and then we'll ask the men to come forward and share the elements with us, since we're fast running out of time this morning. Father, we hasten on to make sure we can start our next service in the preaching of your word. But we don't want to hasten so quickly that we gloss over this truth. The Christian faith is of grace, O God, we confess, but we also acknowledge that there is the law of Christ. this commandment that Christ left us, that by loving one another, all people would know that we are your disciples. By continuing to fulfill this ongoing obligation, we would thus fulfill the law by doing no harm to our neighbor and loving them as you have loved us. Father, we also want to remember that in this whole doctrine of love, there is the source and origin of it. We did not love you first, O God, but you loved us. And that love demands that we love you back and carry that to others as well. Now help us as we come to share the elements of the table, to examine our hearts, make sure that we are, as Paul asked the Corinthians, in the faith. Examine our hearts and make sure that we are walking properly with regard to our fellow believers, not abusing them, not misusing, not in at odds with. For if we are, Lord, help us to leave, as it were, our gift before the altar and to make sure that we are right with our brother or sister, and then come and make our offering of worship and praise to you. I pray that each one has been able to do that ahead of time today. Lord, help us also to know that our lives are bound up in the sacrifice of Christ, that apart from Him we could not stand before the throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, that His wounds plead for us, that even without a word they can do that, because you see that He offered Himself in our stead. And we thank you for this. And now we come to remember that offering and proclaim His death until He returns. We do so this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name which is above all names. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask a couple of our gentlemen to come forward and help us share the elements this morning. Wonderful to have your fellowship this morning, all together. Good to see each and every face, your lives, your spiritual lives given by God. Glad to see our sister Gail here again with us. Thankful she can fellowship around the table one more time. Okay, Brother Dwayne, I'm going to ask if you'll give thanks for the bread, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to participate in these elements, Lord, that we know that are not your blood, not your body, but representations of it. That we would be conscious of what was done, as our brother said, in our stead. On our behalf, Lord, you took the guilt for our sin. Let us take of this bread this morning, broken, like your body, broken and beaten, unrecognizable. That we take it and remember thee this morning, that we would walk in a life that would be fashionable and pleasing to thee. You are the giver of life. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. As the men pass out the wafer, unleavened wafer that we have there, if you could hold on to that until we all partake together. It is that which represents the body of our Lord broken on our behalf. He invites every born-again believer to share that element with the church. If you are in fellowship with the church and the Lord, not walking in some pattern of unrepentant sin, Sometimes folks ask if they should partake, and I say, well, if you aren't sure, don't. But do remember that the text of Scripture says that we should examine ourselves, and so, that means in that manner, examining, in an examining manner, partake of the bread and of the cup. Not something to do lightly, but nobody here is perfect. I'm pretty sure about that. Very sure. That same night in which our Lord was betrayed, it says as part of the Passover meal, He took the bread and broke it, gave it to His disciples and said, "Eat it in remembrance of Me," reflecting on the fact that this, He said, was His body broken for them. Let us eat as we express our fellowship with Him together. I'm going to ask Brother James if he'll lead us in prayer as we prepare to partake of the cup together.
Oh Lord God, we say thank You, oh Lord, for giving to us now this opportunity that we should pause from the things that would otherwise occupy us together around these elements that have been brought before us. As my brother Dwayne said, not the blood, but His blood was spilled for us. And because of that, we're here and we understand the Scriptures were clear that we were to remember the Lord in this way. That blood was shed for us and not for Himself. We are the ones who needed that to be done, and He did it for us. And so we ask You to help us, Lord, because we need the help every day and hour so that we can honor our precious Lord who died for us. We ask in the name of Christ, the Savior of thanksgiving. Amen.
this representation of our Lord's life blood helps us to remember that He poured out His life through that blood unto death. His life was extinguished. He did that because the wages of sin is death, so that you would not have to eternally die. The Bible tells us that He poured out His soul in offering for sin. Let us thank Him as we drink this together in remembrance of Him. You all are familiar with 352, My Hope is in the Lord, but if you need those words, we'll just sing a couple of verses. 352 as we close, and right after we're done with the song, then we will dismiss the service and hopefully come back in just a few minutes to start our next one. 352. We'll sing the first and the second here. Thank you.